The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's pretty explosive, and he's competitive. I mean, at the end of the day, he's got all these physical attributes, but then it's what he's got inside of him, man. He's the ultimate competitor, man. That's what separates him from a lot of guys. He's fearless. It's why those guys, you know, they play the way they do for him. He's not going to give it up, and he's going to do whatever it takes to get the next first down or get the touchdown. And when they need him in crunch time, he's going to show up. He won't give up. And I think that's what makes him who he is, his competitiveness.
Lions coach Dan Campbell, knowing that he and defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn have a tough task this week.
They're dealing with the Winter Soldier.
How do you bottle up Josh Allen? Because the Rams, well, their answer was get out to a big enough lead, block a punt for a touchdown, and hope everything's okay. Hope that 17 points isn't too much to overcome. And ultimately it wasn't. Because the Bills did all in all, they fell short.
I mean, look how close they were, though, and they forced one punt. Well, two, technically, with the end of the game. One punt in game time.
Which, ready? Once again, I'm calling for a new special teams coordinator next year.
Mr. Frowney, please exit.
Yep. He is referring to Matthew Smiley. He's calling Mr. Frowney because he doesn't make you smile. He makes you sad.
No.
The special teams has made this fan base sad all throughout the season here.
Since 13 seconds and when Smiley took over after that, that was it.
Once Heath Farwell left, that unit has suffered. Whether it was through Tyler Bass, whether it was through other aspects, they've not been as
12 men on
capable.
The field ring a bell last year?
And ready? 12 men on the field last year.
This year.
9 on the field this year.
Yes.
This is the second time that we've, and I did this Monday with Josh on the morning show. I brought it up. There was a clip from Phineas and Ferb where I brought in the two nickels thing.
Oh, God.
So the second time that the Bills did not have 11 players on the field for a critical special teams play at the end of a game. For each time that would happen, I would have two nickels. It's not much, but it's weird that it's happened twice.
Yeah, right. It's true, though. It's there's no excuse. The 9 men on the punt.
That's worse.
That is arguably worse because you.
Actually, no.
No, because you lost the game with the 12 men on the field.
You lost the game with the block punt.
You did. And that was bad, too. But
and you lost the game legitimately against Denver last year because of 12
of
men.
That. That 12 men
it
on the field.
It was a rush drill.
Yes.
Why not just leave the defense on and make them try to kick this thing on a rush situation?
Exactly. And then just the 9 men on the field is what a sorry excuse to end that game. You're not even going to try to run it or anything like that.
Well, you couldn't because you didn't have enough players on the field.
That's what I'm saying. But like,
you couldn't block the punt, which is what I thought they were going to have to do. You can't run a punt block when you have less people.
Than the kicking team.
Than the kicking guarding.
Yes.
So, ready? You're effectively, with 9 players on the field, you had as many people as they had blockers on the interior. Because there's 2 players on the outside and the punter. Ready? That's 3. So the rest, there's 8 players. Codrington's back there. What do you have up front? 8 players.
Mm-hmm.
You had 0 tactical advantage. And God forbid they put one of the gunners inside, too. You would have had more blockers than people rushing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. Like I'm.
It's abysmal. It's ridiculous.
I'm beyond done with Matthew Smiley.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall. Just what? What was that?
What happened?
Yeah.
So yeah.
A fly on the bench, if you will, because it's outside. But like.
Either way.
Or no, they were in SoFi. But it's just like. He's
bench still counts.
Yeah, he's been a consistent issue.
Yes.
There's been consistent worry about special teams. And you know what? Tyler Bass, I'm not going to sit here and say it's not all his fault, but it might not be the way that things are handled. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
But
and
still,
the way you know,
I've seen enough from special teams that you need to make a change because...
Yeah, even without
in
the
in terms
the
of DVOA,
stuff. Yeah.
The Bills' defense is 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Offense is 4th. Special teams is 29th.
Mm-hmm. It's almost the worst in the NFL. You're close.
It's among the worst in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bills now, moving on, they have the Lions. It's a tough task. And how are they going to get it done? Well, there's a lot of ways. For me, it's defensive line has to play better than they did against the Rams. Because you put that kind of result out there, it's not going to work. And then Allen has to be Allen in this game.
Yeah, it's a cape game.
It's a cape game.
It turned into one. This one could turn into one. Who knows?
Well, who knows? But we'll get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mike in Lakewood, you have been waiting patiently. I appreciate that. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, gentlemen. I'd like to preface this by saying I've been loving this season, and I'm not happy with the three losses, but like everybody else in Western New York, I have a man crush on Josh, but he's a superstar. But I think the bend don't break style of defense that we run is good enough to beat B minus teams and below. But when you have a team that is talented to move the ball, and a really good team, you can't allow them to drive, make 7-8 minute drives. They're just going to kill you. So our defensive line itself is not getting it, you know, not getting the job done. We need to manufacture some pressure. Then on offense, I would rather take chances and give up a quick score than go back to Josh. Run five wide, mix in some no huddle, put the ball in the hands of the greatest football player in the NFL right now, and let's make it a track meet. Let's do that, and you know, let the chips fall where they may. And I think if you do that, you're going to have a better chance of winning than trying to play conservative.
Mike, I appreciate the call and I like the take, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a way to look at it. For
also,
sure.
Just as a neutral NFL fan, who doesn't like a good track meet?
Yeah, I mean, the Bills-Niners game, right? The whole preview of that was Kelly and Steve Young. The
yes.
game with no punts.
The game with no punts.
And
track meet.
It
Let's
was
go.
A track meet. Just whoever had the ball as the minutes were
Bills
coming
Rams
down.
Bills-Rams turned into a track meet.
It
At
did.
First, it was a game that was like, all right, well, this is over. They're down by 17. Now what? But then Josh Allen said, hold on.
Yeah. Hold my brewski here.
I'm going to make this a game.
Yep.
So who doesn't love a good track meet? Well, defensive coordinators for one. Defensive coaches for another. And I know Sean McDermott is one of those things. He's not a coordinator anymore. He's just a defensive-minded coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he doesn't like the idea of a track meet.
But I don't think he's going to shy away from it if it comes down to it, because you see the Bills adjust to that.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you know who I think is down for a track meet?
Dan Campbell.
Joe Brady.
Oh, Joe Brady, yeah. But I think Dan Campbell's going to bite a kneecap off if it's a track meet.
Joe,
like, he's excited.
Joe Brady also, though, like he does have a favoritism toward like balance and running the football and trying to slow things down a little bit for you.
Mm-hmm.
But last week showed if he needs to dial it up on a case of necessity, he's going to.
Yeah.
And even the Chiefs game. The second half of the Chiefs game, they were trying to run the football in the first half, and it really wasn't working because the Chiefs have one of the best run defenses in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe third overall.
Okay.
That
sounds
third overall
right.
At the time of that game.
Right. Might have changed now. But
that might have strengthened because of the Bills game.
Yeah.
But after that, I would have to look and clarify. But considering that they were a top run unit, though, Joe Brady scrapped the plans, scrapped the idea of balance, and said, Josh Allen, go win us this football game. And he did. So I have more confidence than ever in the offense that is peaking at the right time and yet at the same time has unfulfilled potential.
Oh, yeah. And especially...
Think about that. A team that just scored 42 points...
Yep, in a loss.
...has untapped potential.
Mm-hmm.
Keon Coleman comes back. He's a big play element for you, and Josh Allen loves throwing one-on-one balls to him on the perimeter.
When he and Cooper were healthy together... Those two were highly efficient.
Amari Cooper had 14 targets against the Rams.
He did.
Allen is force-feeding chemistry to Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we see during the middle of the season? Mac Hollins getting a bunch of targets because Khalil Shakir was hurt. Keon Coleman wasn't efficient with his target share. So like there was a real struggle amongst the wide receivers. And now Amari Cooper is getting the same treatment. He's getting a bunch of targets. It's not all there. He only got 6 catches on 14. That's not a great percentage.
No, shooting under 50.
Shooting under 50 on the target share. But what does that do? It leads to a transition of getting used to the quarterback. It's used to the receiver. He's getting the players are getting used to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what we saw with Mac Hollins, who since the Houston game has become one of the more efficient targets for Josh Allen.
Where we joked he couldn't track a deep ball. He's done that a couple times successfully now.
And now
and
Mac
he's
Hollins
is doing
become,
very well. Yeah.
Now Mac Hollins has become a very efficient depth chart wide receiver for this team.
It's all those science experiments throughout the bye week on his TikTok.
But also it's he's getting more acclimated with the quarterback.
It's the experience.
And Amari Cooper is now getting more acclimated.
Exactly.
With the quarterback. And if we get a full bore Amari Cooper toward the playoffs, look the heck out.
Well, he's a big reason the Bills, Josh's legs, sure, and Josh Allen putting the cape on. If he didn't have Amari Cooper, that was not going to be that close.
Exactly.
It was a big part of why it was that close.
Yeah, it was. But the thing is that it was a Josh Allen is trusting these receivers now to win on the outside with one-on-one matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nate brought up that Dalton Kincaid might be back and how that could be a boon. And I'm over here sitting and thinking, he's still just a tight end. And that was something that Joe and I brought up on Friday.
Mm-hmm. He is a tight end.
He's a tight end.
He's not a wide receiver.
And the Bills don't really utilize that.
No.
Other than Kenneth Dorsey.
Yeah, he was the big two tight end set guy.
Dorsey was the two tight end guy,
mm-hmm.
and the Bills got rid of Dorsey before Kincaid's first season even finished.
Yep, and Dable was big on Knox. That's where Knox saw most of his production. I mean,
but Brady's
not a big use of tight ends all the time in the receiving game.
I'm starting to think it's Allen.
You think?
Yes.
You think he likes the wideouts?
He likes wideouts. He likes one-on-one matchups, and he likes being able to grab yards where people don't expect them
to be. He'll find the tight ends, though. He's found Dawson Knox. He's found Dalton Kincaid.
He's found them, but Kincaid's expectations to his reality is still he is a tight end.
Well, it's almost what happened with Knox, right?
Yeah.
Like, and the payment of being that big wide receiving tight end, right?
Yeah.
And then he hasn't been that, whether injury or not.
And
I'm starting
to think the quarterback just doesn't target them as much as you would want him to.
Well, look at how many wide receivers you have to spread the ball out to.
And now that's okay.
Yeah, right.
Now it's okay. But I'm starting to really think that it was Dorsey that really pounded the table for the first round pick of Kincaid and why there were such high expectations for him heading into this season, a team where Dorsey was not.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still nice to have both Knox and Kincaid in whatever role they are in.
Correct.
But you're absolutely right. I think that might be an Allen thing.
Yes.
And I'm not complaining because it's working.
Whatever Allen's doing, it's working.
Yeah.
And that's the big key. Go out to Rochester talking to Luke here. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good. I think you guys have a great point there with Joe Brady, the maturation of Joe Brady to understand the passing skills of Allen and what he has finally is coming to fruition, it seems. But you guys say that you're going to be sort of like counselors today. I'm still sick of McDermott. He still doesn't realize that timeout was the absolutely wrong tactical thing to do. Monday sort of acknowledged if we had something back, it might be that, but in a way that it related to the play call itself and not just the blunder of knee-jerk calling it. If he didn't call it, they could have got a playoff within 20 seconds and saved 20. I think they could have done it between 10 and 15. But him not realizing that he just threw away at least 20 seconds with idiocy is still lingering and just brings no faith in him at all. But they'll still win tomorrow.
And that's the ultimate catch-22, Luke. Wouldn't you say that you have faith that they're going to win tomorrow, and yet you have serious doubts about the head coach? It kind of tells you everything about McDermott in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be here to say, let's remember some of the good things that he does do. Am I going to say that the timeout wasn't a mistake? No. Don't ever put that on me.
No.
I will make sure to say that was tactically a bad idea. However, he was not.
We all said it in the moment.
He was also solely not complicit. Mm-hmm. He was not alone. Joe Brady should have called a passing play, throwing the football. If you need to bail yourself out on fourth down, make that play call.
Exactly.
But because then if you're passing the football, and this is all, you know,
Hindsight's 2020,
Monday morning.
You're going at a high percentage play on third down to get into the end zone.
Not even third down, it was first.
First down.
Because it was a reset because of a pass interference call.
You're right. So you're going on a normally high percentage play with pushing Allen into the end zone because he's just a truck.
It's a 95%.
Probably
95%er.
Yeah.
The problem was this, and it was two-pronged. One, not having a play call immediately established in case of failure.
Mm-hmm. Or getting right back into it to do it again.
Getting right back to the line.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the very understandable fear of you're in a dog pile. How long is it going to take to get these players out and capably ready for the next play call that you may or may not even have in the chamber?
The Rams guys might be nice and slow to get up.
Yep.
And on top of Allen, on top of your linemen.
And I do think 30 seconds probably ticks off the clock before a flag is thrown.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm rolling over nice and slowly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not letting the
ball go. Yeah.
Basically, it's just don't touch the football. Don't touch the football. Don't grab a player. Take your time getting up.
Mm-hmm.
Clock's on your side, Rams. Have fun.
Yeah.
So
they had control at that point.
What I would say is all that that timeout ultimately gave you was effectively low percentage miracle chances.
Yeah, with the onside kick.
Not even the onside kick. Say they get the ball back after the Rams punted away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have seconds.
What's the play?
Yeah, it's one shot to the end zone.
It's a shot to the end zone, hook and lateral.
Yeah, you're just going to start throwing it behind you. And
it's not a non-zero.
It's not a winning formula.
It's not a non-zero chance, mm-hmm. but it's a low percentage chance that you're going to win that football game in that moment, which is why I still will say you lost the game because of special teams. That punt block returned for a touchdown doomed you. That was the difference.
Take that away.
Because you punted the football twice in that game. One of them was blocked. The Rams punted this game twice.
One to end it, and one they genuinely got stopped.
One they genuinely got stopped late, and more hope was being injected into Bills fans.
It was bad. We were sitting here starting to get excited again.
We were like, what the hell is going on here? But the problem is, you're getting a low percentage play back mm-hmm. from that timeout.
Yeah.
So while it is tactically still a bad move, ultimately it didn't matter. And that's okay to admit that. Admit both sides of that. Which is Sean McDermott in a nutshell. He does plenty good for this team. And even two games prior to that, he lets Josh Allen
do it himself
and refuse to kick a field goal of death.
Where,
a thing where he would have done that in the past.
Yes, I agree. That's where I was going to say. You've seen growth, I think, in the right direction. And
the thing
trusting.
Is, the Bills also lose so infrequently that every time that this happens, it's under a microscope.
It is. It's not like they don't go on 8-game losing streaks.
We got to talk about them again, don't we?
Yeah.
Brayton Wilson.
Yeah.
Our friend from right down the hall on WBEN and, of course, a longtime member here of the station and WGR. Brayton Wilson joins us coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, you're listening to WGR.